Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 12, 2022. Coming up this hour,
President Biden says a slight recession is possible in the U.S.
More tough talk from the Fed on fighting inflation. We speak with Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester.
The Bank of England confirms it will end emergency bond buying on Friday.
And Intel plans thousands of job cuts.
New Jersey says New York City's congestion pricing charge threatens Port Authority revenue. Plus, NASA successfully moves an asteroid off its orbit. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Game one to the Yankees. They beat Cleveland at the stadium, and the Rangers won their season opener.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 17 points, Dow futures up 110, NASDAQ futures up 68, and the 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds yield 3.92%. And the yield on the 2-year is at 4.29%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but first, President Biden is weighing in on the economy as investors, CEOs, and economists talk about a possible recession. So is the president.
I don't think there will be a recession. If it is, it'll be a very slight recession. That is, we'll move down slightly. Well, look, think about what's happened. We have done more. We're in a better position than any other major country in the world.
In an interview with CNN's Jake Tapper, the president also voiced anger with Saudi Arabia and oil production cuts from OPEC Plus. He's accusing the kingdom of allying itself with Russia and vows to engage with lawmakers to punish Riyadh.
There's going to be some consequences for what they've done with Russia.
What kind of consequences? Menendez says suspend all arms sales. Is that something you'd consider?
I'm not going to get into what I'd consider and what I have in mind, but there will be consequences.
And President Biden suggests those consequences likely will not come until after next month's midterm elections.
Well, tough talk on inflation continues from the Fed, Nathan. The latest weighing in is Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester, and she tells us the bank is definitely not done raising rates.
The real issue is we need to do more. We have not seen inflation move back down, and we need to see that because leaving inflation where it is, if it continues, there's a higher chance that it does become embedded in the economy.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Stay tuned for more of that conversation coming up shortly on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, the Fed still has its critics out there, Karen, including Mohamed El-Erian, the Allianz chief economic advisor and Bloomberg opinion columnist, says aggressive tightening by the central bank will not only damage the U.S. economy, but also the rest of the world.
This is going to be a reminder a little bit of October 2008, when people gather in Washington and realize we have a global problem and that needs a global solution.
Mohamed El-Erian made those comments to Jonathan Farrow on Bloomberg Surveillance. Catch the program weekdays at 7 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Coming up today, Nathan, we get the first of several key economic readings this week. Let's get the details from Bloomberg economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The world is watching the U.S. Federal Reserve raising rates to fight inflation has an impact on markets everywhere. So this week's inflation reports are key for markets. Wednesday, the U.S. reports on producer prices. The bad news? Economists forecast factory gate prices rose last month. Also Wednesday, the Fed releases the minutes of its September 21st meeting. Investors will parse those for clues to how fast the central bank thinks inflation will come down, which may influence how high rates will go and for how long. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. Soaring inflation and higher interest rates have seen yields rise, and stocks are trading at their lowest levels in almost 2 years. Still, Morgan Stanley chief U.S. equity strategist Mike Wilson says it could be too early to call a bottom.
I think the bond market is probably there. But unfortunately, kind of like stocks, the bond market needs to be told by the Fed that they're done, right? And that's just the dance we're in right now. It's the hardest part of the cycle to trade. We think we know where we're going in equities. We think yields are probably close to topping. but we got to go through the earnings revision still, which is why you can't say that stocks have bottomed.
Morgan Stanley Chief U.S. Equity Strategist Mike Wilson says inventory, labor costs, and other latent expenses are wreaking havoc on company cash flow.
Well, in Europe this morning, Nathan, questions continue to swirl over whether the Bank of England will end its emergency bond buying program on Friday. And we go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. It has been a rocky few hours for watchers of UK assets this morning. The Bank of England now confirming it will end its emergency bond buying program this Friday. That was after an earlier Financial Times report that the bank had told lenders in private there could be an extension. UK GDP, meanwhile, unexpectedly shrinking in August for the second time in 3 months. The 0.3% drop in output driven by a sharp decline in manufacturing, raising the possibility the country is now in a recession. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ewan. Back here in the U.S., a big company is looking at a big reduction in headcount. It looks like Intel could be slashing jobs in an effort to cut costs. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
We're told the job cuts will likely number in the thousands and will be announced as early as next month. Some divisions, including sales and marketing, could see cuts affecting about 20% of staff. As of July, Intel had 113,700 employees. The company is facing a steep decline in demand for PC processors. Its main business has struggled to win back market share, lost to rivals like Advanced Micro Devices. In July, Intel said 2022 sales would be about $11 billion lower than previously forecast. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. And in Europe this morning, shares of Credit Suisse are down 3%. Sources say the Justice Department is investigating whether the Swiss lender continued to help U.S. clients hide assets from authorities. The bank paid a multi-billion dollar fee over a similar issue 8 years ago and had pledged to tackle the issue.
All right, futures right now are moving higher. Karen, S&P futures are up 22 points. Dow futures up 148. And NASDAQ futures are higher by 81 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 5/32. The yield on the benchmark, 3.92%. Local headlines and a check of sports up next. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 58 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident on the southbound New Jersey Turnpike truck lanes. It's by exit 13. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has put up another potential hurdle to block Manhattan traffic congestion pricing with an inquiry into the potential revenue hit to the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. Murphy says the plan would cut bridge and tunnel toll collections. Murphy wrote the comment to Port Authority Executive Director Richard Cotton in an October 11th letter obtained by Bloomberg News. He says any reduction in the Port Authority capital plan because of congestion pricing should not come at the expense of any New Jersey projects. The letter is Murphy's latest attempt to quash the congestion pricing plan to raise about $1 billion annually for the MTA, or at least delay it. On the campaign trail, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the party will stick with Herschel Walker as their GOP candidate for Senate in Georgia. Walker told ABC he denies a woman's claims that the former NFL star once urged her to have an abortion.
I know nothing about an abortion. I know it's a lie. And I said it was a lie, and I just move on.
Walker's campaign is rocked by allegations that he reimbursed an ex-girlfriend for an abortion in 2009. New York City Mayor Eric Adams signed legislation barring concealed guns, both legal and illegal, from Times Square. Mayor Eric Adams says it's essential for the city to safeguard the rights of the tourists and visitors who could be coming through the area looking for safe fun on their trips to the city.
We are projected to receive 56 million tourists in this city. Many of them come through Times Square. It has become a signature of this city, and we want to make sure that they're safe.
The decision comes following the summer's Supreme Court decision to overturn the state's law requiring a license to carry concealed weapons in public places. NASA says the DART spacecraft that crashed into a small harmless asteroid 2 weeks ago has succeeded in shifting the space rock's orbit. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson.
Now the team has confirmed that the spacecraft's impact altered Dimorphos' orbit around Didymos by 32 minutes.
NASA's Bill Nelson. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees signed Garrett Cole to win big games in October. Didn't happen last year. He got roughed up in a one-game playoff in Boston. But Cole pitched like an ace last night at the stadium in 6 1/3. Allowed just one run, struck out 8. The bullpen, a question mark heading to the postseason. It did its job, getting the last 8 outs. Yankees took game 1 from Cleveland. 4-1. Home runs for Harrison Bader, his first ever in pinstripes. And then Anthony Rizzo, a long two-run shot. Game 2 scheduled for tomorrow night, although rain is in the forecast. High drama in the other American League series. Seattle was coming off a win in Toronto, where the Mariners came back from an 8-1 deficit. This time, they had the lead. They got to Justin Verlander in Houston. They led 4-0, later 7-3. Seattle was one out from victory.
The 0-1. And Alvarez belts it deep to right field. Houston goodbye. Unbelievable. The Astros a walk-off win. Yordan Alvarez a walk-off three-run homer. And the Astros stun the Mariners in game 1 of the division series.
KBME, the call. Houston won 8-7. Dodgers beat the Padres in L.A. 5-3. The Phillies in a surprise took game 1 in Atlanta 7-6. Opening night for the Rangers. Little payback on Tampa Bay, who ousted them 4 months ago in the playoffs at the Garden. Mika Zibanejad scored shorthanded. Then on the power play, Blue Shirts won 3-1. Giants are back from London, but their punter is not. Jamie Gallant is a native of Scotland, came to live in the U.S. while in high school. He is stuck in England with a visa issue. Giants expect him back in time to punt on Sunday against Baltimore. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are now up 22 points. Dow futures up 151. NASDAQ futures up 86 points. 10-year Treasuries up 4.30 seconds. The yield, 3.92%. Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester next on the path ahead for the central bank. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Morning sun will be followed by increasing clouds this afternoon, a high near 70 degrees. Rain tomorrow, breezy as well with a high near 70. Back in the sunshine on Friday. Right now, 58 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And futures this morning are higher. The pound is trimming gains after the Bank of England confirmed it'll end its emergency bond buying program on Friday. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 27 points. Dow futures up 180 and NASDAQ futures up 98. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. The CAC in Paris up about 0.5%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.3%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan, little change today, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell about 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 6.30 seconds, yield 3.92%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.28%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 11 cents at $89.47 a barrel. COMEX gold down about 0.6% or $9.40 at $16.76.70 an ounce. The euro 0.97 against the dollar. The British pound 1.1028 and the yen 146.40. And looking at Bitcoin, it's up about 0.75% and $19,160. Today, we do have a reading on inflation to look out for. The producer price index out at 8:30 Wall Street time. Then at 2, it's the minutes from the Fed's latest meeting. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Joe Biden voiced his fury with Saudi Arabia over OPEC oil production cuts Tuesday, accusing the kingdom of allying itself with Russia and vowing to engage with U.S. lawmakers clamoring to punish Riyadh. Biden, speaking to CNN, says there's going to be some consequences for what they've done with Russia. The Supreme Court will not consider restricting abortion further after its June ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade, at least for now. The conservative-leaning court declined yesterday to hear a case that would have granted constitutional rights to embryos and fetuses. In baseball, the Yankees won game one of their ALDS against the Guardians 4-1. In hockey, the Rangers won their season opener. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's almost 5:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Chatter from the Fed continues to suggest the central bank will continue hiking rates aggressively. Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester says more work needs to be done to slow inflation. It's an indication she thinks interest rates need to be in restrictive territory. Mester sat down for an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. They also discussed shrinking the Fed's massive balance sheet. Let's take a listen to that conversation now.
You haven't made up your mind yet about 50 versus 75, whereas a lot of economists and market participants are sure that the strong labor market not cooling down means 75. You also said that you can't let inflation remain so high, you need to bring it down quickly. So why would you even doubt the 75 basis point move? That seems inconsistent.
Yeah. No, I just want to make sure that we have all the data before I go into that meeting and hear what my colleagues are saying around the table. I think the real issue is we need to do more. We have not seen inflation move back down, and we need to see that because leaving inflation where it is, if it continues, there's a higher chance that it does become embedded in the economy and affecting pricing decisions of firms and also getting into the psyche of households. And that has long-term negative connotations for the economy. So, again, this is a question of we know that it's time to continue on and persevere in bringing the funds rate up. We know that we're going to have to keep it there for a time until we see inflation beginning to come back down because we really want to make sure it's on a sustainable downward path to 2%. So if you remember the dot plot in the median path from the last SEP in September, we're very much aligned in terms of where we think policy needs to get to.
Okay. Well, in fact, after 300 basis points of rate hikes, you know, it seems that the terminal rate, I want to ask you, does it look like maybe it's going to end up having to be higher than you thought? Do you have any confidence now in even knowing what the terminal rate's going to be? Many people have talked about something as high as 5%.
Well, we have to wait until we see how the economy evolves. This is the assessment process that we're going to be going through, you know, the end of this year and into next year is we want to basically get inflation on this downward path, right? Labor markets continue to be very strong. We have seen some moderation there. We have seen some moderation on the product side of the economy. And it really is now we're going to calibrate going forward. But right now, the funds rate is just approaching a neutral funds rate, and we really need to get it above neutral for a time if we want to put inflation on the downward path, and we do. So again, we put out the dot plots, which give our best, estimate at the moment of what's appropriate policy. But we're going to be doing this assessment of how fast is demand moderating, how quickly is supply maybe picking up, and our price pressures coming down, and that'll be the job as we go forward in this challenging time.
Well, the message from the Fed seems to be all comments lately that the idea is to move quickly, front load the rate hikes, get to 4.5 to 4.75, and then see how that's affecting inflation. But to clarify, does this mean that once you get to that point, when you think you're at neutral, when it's 4.5 to 4.75, that you're going to pause, even with the funds rate well below the rate of inflation? Because that's where it's likely going to be.
Right. Well, I think we're going to see inflation come down next year. So when I'm thinking about, how far above a neutral rate do we have to go? And I do think we're going to have to be in restricted territory, right? Remember, as inflation comes down, right, we're becoming more restrictive. So again, this is the assessment we have to do. So I think the appropriate path is we continue to raise rates a bit more so we get it up to that level where we're positive in terms of the real funds rate based on expected inflation over the next year. Then we wait and assess data coming in, but not only the backward-looking data, the lag data, but also the information we're getting from the street in terms of Main Street, right? Real consumers, real households, real businesses telling us how they're thinking about the economy.
And that was Cleveland
Fed President Loretta Mester speaking with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. And the Fed gets more data to digest this week, starting today with inflation data. That's actually today and tomorrow. We get readings on producer prices today, then the key data on consumer prices Thursday. Then the week wraps up with retail sales and the University of Michigan Sentiment Index. Those both come out on Friday. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, futures are moving higher. We have S&P futures up 29 points, Dow futures up 197, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 109 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 6.30 seconds, the yield 3.92%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Morning sun will be followed by increasing afternoon clouds, a high near 70 degrees. Rain and a breeze tomorrow with a high near 70. Upper 60s Friday with a mostly sunny sky. 58 degrees right now.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991 to Boston, Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960 to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. First up, President Biden weighs in on the economy. In an interview with CNN, the president faced questions about a possible contraction in growth.
I don't think there will be a recession. If it is, it'll be a very slight recession. That is, we'll move down slightly.
President Biden said the U.S. economy is resilient enough to ride out any economic turbulence. He also says the American people do not need to prepare for a recession.
Well, tough talk on inflation continues from the Fed, Karen. Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester says the central bank is not done raising rates and that she sees no reason to alter the central bank's balance sheet runoff plan.
I think we want to stick to that plan because the markets have understood the plan. They see it. They understand it. We did very well, I think, broadcast what we were planning to do, then implemented it.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Catch the full conversation on the Bloomberg Terminal and at Bloomberg.com.
Well, the Fed still has its critics out there, Nathan, including Mohamed Alarian, the Allianz chief economic advisor and Bloomberg opinion columnist, says the Fed's aggressive tightening could lead to a global slowdown.
Central banks and governments have to be very aware that we are getting close to a situation where financial instability is the tail that wags the dog of the economy.
And Mohamed Alarian made the comments on Bloomberg Surveillance, heard weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, coming up today, Karen, we get some key economic data. This morning, the latest producer price index comes out at 8:30 Wall Street time. We get minutes from the Fed at 2 p.m. Stick with Bloomberg Radio and Television for complete coverage.
Meantime, Nathan, yields are rising and stocks are trading at their lowest levels in almost 2 years. Still, Morgan Stanley chief U.S. equity strategist Mike Wilson says it's too early to call a bottom.
I don't want to get too bullish here because people then won't construe my words to say, hey, you know, here is time to go. And that's not what we're saying. We're saying there's still, you know, the last couple of innings of this bear market could be quite painful. But you got to be ready for when that price gets to an attractive level.
Morgan Stanley chief U.S. equity strategist Mike Wilson says inventory, labor costs, and other latent expenses are wreaking havoc on company cash flow.
And in corporate news today, Karen, a big company is looking at a major headcount reduction. Sources say Intel is planning thousands of job cuts to lower costs and cope with a sputtering personal computer market.
And
S&P futures right now are down 32 points. Dow futures down 218. And NASDAQ futures are lower by 116 points. 10-year Treasury is up 430 seconds, yield 3.92%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 58 degrees in Central Park. Still got some lingering road construction. We'll tell you about it shortly. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New Jersey says traffic congestion pricing in Manhattan threatens Port Authority revenue. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says any reduction in the Port Authority capital plan because of congestion pricing should not come at the expense of any New Jersey project. Murphy's comments came in an October 11th letter to Port Authority Executive Director Richard Cotton, obtained by Bloomberg News. Top Biden administration officials are voicing their fury with Saudi Arabia over OPEC production cuts. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the administration says there will be severe consequences.
They are saying the administration is undertaking a sweeping evaluation of its relationship, including modifying agreements. State Department spokesman Ned Price saying the cuts benefit Russia.
But it certainly serves the shorter-term interests of countries like Russia, a country that stands to gain, at least in the near term, from elevated oil prices.
The administration says it may ask Congress to get involved. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York Mayor Eric Adams signed into law a new concealed carry measure. It means Times Square officially becomes a gun-free zone.
And we're going to make sure we create an environment where those who visit the city, such as Times Square, won't have to be paralyzed with the fear of knowing that someone is carrying a gun in this area.
The legislation is based on a New York State law that is being challenged in court. NASA says the DART spacecraft that crashed into a small harmless asteroid 2 weeks ago has succeeded in shifting the space rock's orbit. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson.
NASA successfully crashed a refrigerator-sized spacecraft into the asteroid Dimorphos, 7 million miles from Earth.
NASA's Bill Nelson. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
The power of science. Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. October baseball in the Bronx. Gerrit Cole's first four Yankee postseason starts were all on the road. At the stadium, he got a big ovation when he came out seventh inning, one out, one on, and the Yankees leading Cleveland 4-1.
The most comfortable time to acknowledge the crowd, but I certainly felt it and appreciated it. And I thought they were in every pitch tonight, and what a wonderful experience to have them behind us.
Yanks won 4-1. Home runs for Harrison Bader and Anthony Rizzo. Key moment came third inning after a Stephen Kwan homer off of Cole. The Guardians had the bases loaded, one out. Cole got out of it. Yanks also got back-to-back defensive gems in the fourth. First, an Oswaldo Cabrera catch in left field, and then on a hot smash to third baseman Josh Donaldson. Game two scheduled for tomorrow night, weather permitting. Houston down 7-3, eighth inning, came back, stunned Seattle 8-7 on a walk-off three-run homer with two outs to the bottom of the ninth by Jordan Alvarez. The Dodgers beat San Diego 5-3. The Phillies hung on to win 7-6 in Atlanta. The Phils nearly blew a 7-1 lead. Mika Zibanejad, a big part of the Rangers' playoff run last season, a run that was ended by Tampa Bay. Opening night at the Garden, Zibanejad scored shorthanded second period on the power play in the third. The Rangers beat the Lightning 3-1. Knicks and Nets, both with preseason games on the road tonight. The NFL says it will consider changes to the roughing the passer penalty, but not until after the season. There were two very questionable calls in Week 5. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Scott Carr.
Sampled will expand its Smart Labs facility in Piscataway, New Jersey, into a state-of-the-art 140,000-square-foot laboratory and biorepository. The facility will be one of the largest of its kind in the world. Construction is expected to be completed by early 2023. The musical theater production company Big League Productions has just renewed its lease in New York's Hell's Kitchen. Under the terms, their 1,200-square-foot space in the 9th Ave Film Center building will remain the company's home for the next 3 years. A group of business leaders in Hartford, Connecticut are putting together a working group to plan out future uses for an increasing amount of vacant office space in the city. Head of the Metro Hartford Alliance, David Griggs, says the first order of business will be to get the largest communities to agree it is a regional problem. One tactic might be to convince employers of the need to return workers to centralized offices. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Scott Carr.
Thank you, Scott. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about workers at an Amazon warehouse in Southern California filing paperwork to hold a union election.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Diamondback Energy is buying Firebird Energy as it looks to grow in the Permian Basin.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm talking about Intel planning major job cuts.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. Sticking to Friday, the Bank of England confirms that it will wrap up its emergency gilt purchase at the end of this week.
I'm Scott Carr on WDCH in Washington. I'm reporting on more plans for more data centers in Northern Virginia.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. By early next year, the U.S. government will likely run out of money to pay for COVID-19 vaccines, tests, and treatments. Although President Joe Biden has requested more support from Congress, Republicans are in no mood to continue spending on the pandemic. Shifting more costs to the private sector makes sense, but some level of government funding is still necessary. Lawmakers should agree on a more limited approach that ensures the U.S. is still prepared to fight the next pandemic. That means, for example, that Congress should continue to authorize funding for basic research, the development of new vaccines and therapeutics, and manufacturing capacity. In ways big and small, the U.S. is moving on from COVID. With a bit of foresight, the federal government should be able to manage this transition while keeping Americans safe. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N, go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N, go. Futures moving higher this morning. We have S&P futures up 31 points. Dow futures up 212. NASDAQ futures are higher by 115 points. We'll talk about this market next with Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at Merrill and Bank of America Private Bank. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, morning sun, increasing clouds this afternoon with a high near 70 degrees. Rain and a breeze tomorrow with a high near 70 once again. Upper 60s, mostly sunny by Friday. Right now 58 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this flash brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at SEIC.com/tech. Futures this morning are higher, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 28 points, Dow futures up 184, and NASDAQ futures up 105. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.94%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.28%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 19 cents at $89.51 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $9.70 at $16.76.30 an ounce. The euro 0.9704 against the dollar. British pound 1.1055 and the yen 146.39. And Bitcoin this morning up 0.8% at $19,170. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Ukraine Southern Operational Command says its forces have recaptured 5 settlements in the Kherson region. The settlements are in one of the 4 regions recently illegally annexed by Russia. Meanwhile, Russia says it has detained 5 Russians and 3 citizens of Ukraine and Armenia over the last week bridge explosion linking it to Crimea. Anti-government protests continue in cities and towns in Iran for a 4th week. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of Iranians living abroad have marched on the streets of Europe over the death of a woman who was arrested by the so-called morality police about her hijab. In baseball, the Yankees won game one of their ALDS against the Guardians 4-1. In hockey, the Rangers won their season opener against the Lightning 3-1. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Joe Quinlan, head of CIO Market Strategy at Merrill and Bank of America Private Bank, as we watch a little bit of a lift in the futures contracts this morning. Joe, after five straight losing sessions, is this a bottom or is this a dead cat?
I'm more the latter, Nathan, unfortunately.
Okay.
We're not out of the woods yet. People know that. So Fed's got a lot of work to do. Global recession in front of us, so more of a dead cat bounce than bottom.
Although we've heard of, as you mentioned, yet more hawkish talk from the Federal Reserve, although we did get, or maybe I'm going too far here by saying that maybe we saw a little bit of a crack from Vice Chair Lyle Brainard, saying there should be some caution when it comes to the Fed going too far on interest rates. What's your view on where the Fed's going right now?
Well, that was interesting hearing the comments from the chair, vice chair, in the sense that maybe a little bit more dovish. But I think the Fed is feeling the heat when it comes to the recession call. A lot of the recession is coming. Maybe the Fed should back off. But we're still of the opinion that we're doing 75 basis points in November. And maybe we start to back off from 50, 25. But we're not there yet. So the Fed's shifting. I wouldn't say it's a big shift, but the tone is starting to turn dovish. I expect more of that into, say, the first quarter of next year.
So you're not swayed then by some of the commentary we're hearing from President Biden saying that there's going to be maybe a slight recession and that people shouldn't prepare for a long recession? You don't think it's going to be a shallow recession?
For presidents to call recessions, his history does is not on their side, so to speak, if you look at history. Recession or not, I mean, shallow or not, I don't think it will. We're not looking for a deep downturn. The consumer is still in decent shape, relatively speaking. It's really the rest of the world that worries me when it comes to the outlook. So, to us, the U.S. economy is in the best shape globally. Maybe we go in first, we come out first. We'll be the strongest. So we have a bias towards U.S. assets when we look globally when we do asset allocation.
What are you looking at in terms of U.S. allocations?
Really, Nathan, hard assets, hard power, so to speak. So we like energy. We like defense, minerals, metals. So we're really staying in that space. It's worked well, and we think it's going to continue to work. A little bit more defensive with healthcare, utilities. We're not ready to kind of flip the switch and go to growth because we think that's a story for the second half of next year. But there's a lot of pain between now and then.
Well, what would get you to that point where you could move away from a defensive posture and into growth? What are you looking for in the economy or in the market that would get you out of a bearish stance?
First and foremost would be consumer price index, just inflation in general. How much is it tacking lower? What components? Does it alleviate the Fed raising rates too far, too aggressively into, say, first quarter of next year? That's first and foremost. We need some type of, it won't call it a pause, but some kind of off-ramp for Ukraine and Russia. And then we need China to reflate. Get COVID, zero COVID policy, reflate, reset. So really, but the biggest issue is right here at home. It's the CPI and then really the employment, the labor market, how much slack is being built in there that will take the foot off the pedal of the Fed.
Well, what's your expectation of what we're going to get from this consumer price index? Do you think we've hit peak inflation?
Our economists do think we've hit peak inflation, but it remains elevated. Elevated is what? I mean, if we break below 8%, maybe that's, don't pop the cork on the champagne because we're still at 7% plus. So, the inflationary track has a long ways to go yet in terms of getting even remotely close to 2%. If we get there too fast, right, down, we start seeing a real significant year-over-year decline. That means the economy is weakening more than people expected. So it's a very delicate balancing act.
So in our last minute here, Joe, where do you see opportunity at this point in the tightening cycle, and how long do you expect this tightening cycle to last?
Well, I think the tightening cycle is behind us. We reached the peak in the Fed funds rate first quarter of next year. I think that's kind of like the base case, maybe March, April. So then we've got the balance of the year to work through. we're still, you know, hard assets, hard power. It's still, to me, when you look globally, OPEC plus, if China does reflate, that's bullish for energy prices, commodities in general, agriculture. So we're still playing defense well into next year based on this inflationary fight for the Fed. So dividends, shorter duration on the fixed income, that's kind of where we're hiding out, holding cash, building some cash reserves, and being ready for the upturn. Because as I said, I do think the U.S. leads the way coming out of this global recession. So you want to be positioned in the U.S. first, globally second.
That's just going to take some time. All right, Joe, thanks for this. Great having you on with us this morning. Joe Quinlan, head of CIO Market Strategy at Merrill and Bank of America Private Bank. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time now for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today we're looking at oral arguments yesterday. The Supreme Court justices were concerned about the implications of California's humane pork law and whether it would mean that other states could impose demands, such as requiring that workers be paid a certain wage or be allowed to opt out of a union before products could be sold. The law, approved through a ballot initiative, bans the sale of pork in California unless pregnant pigs are allowed at least 24 square feet of space, enough to be able to stand up and turn around in their pens. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Harold Krent, a professor at the Chicago Kent College of Law.
The pork producers say the law unlawfully regulates farmers in other states, but those farmers don't have to sell their pork in California.
They don't, but California, because of its size, has 13% of the market. And so states like New York, California, and Texas have a disproportionate impact upon commerce in the United States. And so producers have to listen to what those three states in particular say, and so they have an outsized impact on the market. That being said, it is clear that if California banned all importation of pork because of perceived health reasons into the state of California, that would survive any kind of Commerce Clause challenge. So the interesting issue here, and I think one that really split the court, is if a ban is okay under the Constitution, why isn't the lesser step of a certification that the pigs were slaughtered under humane conditions, why shouldn't that also be constitutional?
The justices seemed concerned about the implications of the law, whether states could impose their moral values beyond their borders, and that sort of crossed ideological lines. For example, Justice Barrett said, so you could have California pass a law that said we're not going to buy any pork from companies that don't require all their employees to be vaccinated or from corporations that don't fund gender-affirming surgery or that sort of thing. So it was sort of the parade of horribles. What could happen?
No, I think that's right, and I think this case gives rise to that kind of parade of horribles, as you suggest, far more so than any case the court has seen, which gives rise to, at least if I had to make a prediction, that the court is going to find some kind of narrow way to reverse the Ninth Circuit holding in favor of California and set it back for some additional proceedings, perhaps based upon the strength of the showing that each party can make about, on the one hand, what kind of health benefits for California citizens may accrue from this kind of humane treatment measure, and on the other hand, what kind of economic impact this California regulation may cause the pork producers.
And that's Harold Krent, a professor at the Chicago Kent College of Law, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up 28 points, Dow futures up 183, NASDAQ futures up 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.94%. And our top stories are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.